You know how hard it is to come from a good home where there ain't never no foul words and be dropped into the world and you hear this nasty stuff all the time and not be contaminated with it? You know how hard that is? It's pretty hard. The Scripture says it will contaminate you. And so I picked up a few of their lousy words. And then I knew it was wrong. And that Holy Ghost began to convict me that, son, what you're doing is wrong. You need to clean up your mouth. So I, as a young man, began to say, Lord, okay. I realize I'm not supposed to take your name in vain. I'm just trying to be one of the guys. But Lord, I will do it this year. I promise you, I'll not use another bad word this year. But guess what? I didn't make it. You know what I did wrong? I said, I will do it. I don't have that kind of power without the Holy Spirit. But after I didn't make it the first year, the next year, I said, Lord, I can't do this. But I know You can clean up my mouth. And Lord, I ask You to take away all profanity out of my mouth. And I believe it's done. And from this day forth, I'll never use another word of profanity. And He took it away. That vocabulary just went away. I mean, it doesn't make it. I remember one time I was working out there at the airport and I was putting an electrical box together and I was in a hurry putting some stuff and my screwdriver slipped and my hand run down in there and one of those steel deals that was there caught right under that little cuticle right there and plumb back to that knuckle just ripped all the meat off. Blood just gushed. I jumped out there and I said, oh my goodness, you know, I'm sitting there holding my thumb, blood's running out of there, everything. One of the guys walked up and said, well, go ahead and say it. I said, praise the Lord. That wasn't what he was expecting, Jays. But that's what was in my vocabulary. Praise the Lord. Well, did you know that it wasn't but just a couple of days so that thing was healed? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if I'd have started using all them foul words, it might have taken 2 or 3 weeks for the thing, and it might have got infected, and I might have lost a thumb, you know. But I said, praise the Lord. See, you can't do these things on your own. That's why you have to pray and ask God for this spiritual wisdom and power and authority that He's given to you. But until you ask Him in faith, it won't work for you. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it with Him. So He tells us what to do. After He's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, and He's brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son, you got to know that. And most people are like I was most of my life in the church. I didn't know I had been delivered. I didn't know a transformation had taken place because of the blood. I didn't know I was a son of the devil. You know, I was a pretty good kid. You know, I was raised up in a good Christian home. I didn't know I was lost and a child of the devil. If you'd have told me that, it would have probably offended me. But I now look back and know I was. But I, when I got saved, I was delivered just like everybody else from one kingdom into another kingdom. I was translated into the kingdom of light. What a good place to be, huh? What a good place to be. But He tells us here He done this. After He taken me out of that, and put me into the kingdom of His dear Son, it says God has purchased our freedom with His blood and has forgiven all our sins. Now then, the freedom that He's given you and me, it took me most of my life to realize the freedom that I have. What does it mean to be free? You know, I mean, I think about the leaders of the church when Jesus came and began to talk to them, and they said, we are free. We've never been in bondage. You know, He said, God is our Father. But Jesus told them the devil was their father, didn't He? That didn't go set too well with the church leaders, did it? I mean, but the King of the universe said the devil is your father. That doesn't set well with people when they learn that. But today, the average church member does not know that you have been given complete freedom in Christ. Now, I've used this as an example lots of times. As all of you know, that in this country, when Abraham Lincoln was here, he went to war to fight for the black man, to set him free. And a lot of men died to set the black man free. And he did it. And he signed the Emancipation Proclamation so all the black people could be free in America. But did the black people live in freedom in America? No. Not even close. They were in bondage. They couldn't go to certain restaurants. They couldn't eat in restaurants. They couldn't send their kids to school. They couldn't go to bathrooms. I mean, it was terrible. And then in 1960, Martin Luther King came up on the scene, and he took the principles that were written already in the laws of this land, and it cost him his life. But he said, we have the right to send our children to school wherever we want to. It's written in the laws of the land in America. We have the right to do these kind of things. And so they took away from the enemy what had been given to them years before. And now then, the black man in America, praise God, he enjoys the same benefits, the white, the yellow, the red, everybody. We have very little of that left in America. But do you know what? The church is still there. The Emancipation Proclamation for the church was signed over 2,000 years ago. Our king set us free, didn't he? But how many of us have lived in that freedom? Not enough of us. How do you learn you have that freedom? I mean by dedicated reading and studying this book. And until you get in this book, you don't know what belongs to you. You don't know that God has purchased our freedom with His blood and has forgiven all of our sins and He has technically set you and me free. That's good news. But a lot of people don't know what it means to be free. Let's go to the next set of verses. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Now, this is the part that makes it so tough. You can't see God. Nobody has ever seen God. In fact, I sat in the home of a great Christian mother and father the other night with their young son that was probably 25, I guess, or 4, whatever he was. And this young man, his body had been attacked with sickness and disease, and his legs were, he'd had surgery, all kinds of complications. And they wanted me to come over and sit down and minister to them. So we did for several hours, till midnight the other night. This was in Germany while we were there. And when I finally asked the question, I said, son, if you will just give your life to Jesus and walk in obedience to His Word, I said, I guarantee He'll heal your body. He said, show me Jesus. You can't show me Jesus. I said, yes, I can. Look at me. He's right here. I said, look over at your dad. Look at your mom. I said, He's in them. He said, I don't believe that. What is it that makes it so difficult for us to believe? Because God is invisible. But did He send a form of a visible man to show us what He was like? Yes, He did. 2,000 years ago, God, Christ, is the visible image of the invisible God. God's a spirit. You can't see Him. But Jesus was a man, just exactly like you and me. And He came to this earth in a visible form. And if you want to see Jesus today, all you should have to do is look and say, wow, that man walks just like Jesus. Do you know you and I are the only visible thing a lot of people are going to see about Jesus? So you got to start thinking, I am like Jesus. I am the King because the King lives in me. So if Christ is in me, then He's here. And when you see you, they ought to see Jesus in you. They shouldn't hear a bunch of foul words and all kinds of junk and all that stuff, should they?
That's right.
They should hear things that glorify the Lord. And every one of us, unfortunately, it doesn't happen, but every one of us should be, when somebody looks at us and says, do you know anybody that looks like Jesus? Do you know anybody that acts like Jesus? They say, yeah, that man right there. He's the closest thing to the real thing I ever saw in my life. Because Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. and he existed before God made anything at all, and he is supreme over all creation. You know, when you stop and think about that just a minute, he is supreme over all creation. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is the one that spoke and the worlds came into existence. He's the one that made the stars. And he's the one that maintains and rules them every day. He has them all numbered and named. And he calls their name and they all bow down and worship him every day. Is he supreme? Absolutely. He's God. We don't have a clue the power that's given to us. If we could ever get to that realization, if we could block out that devil when he tries to deceive us, and we could get a hold of what's going on here, I mean, we could walk in a great faith. We'd know who we were in Christ. And if we really knew, you know, I think about the faith that I exhibited that day on January the 1st when that woman called me with that scoliosis demon in her back, 55 years. And I rebuked that thing, commanded it to come out of her, and commanded her to be healed in the name of Jesus. And obviously, I hit the right buttons. Isn't that awesome? How many times have I not hit the right buttons? Too many times. Too many times. But that day, everything was lined up perfect. Now, I wished I could get to a place where I could see that happen every day. Every time I spoke in the name of Jesus. That glorious power that's in you, it can kick out a scoliosis demon and set a young woman that's 55 years old, set her free, and she can live in a new body today. Like, she don't know how to, she says, I don't understand this. I've got this magnificent new body. I don't have no pain in it. Hallelujah. Did Jesus come to set us free back here? He come to give us that kind of freedom, didn't he? But you notice also that she had to take away from this enemy by force what rightfully belonged to her. Although I prayed the prayer of faith for her, it wasn't an instantaneous thing. It took 5 months for the full healing to come to reality. And she fought the fight, stayed in the Word, continued to praise God and worship Him and do all the things. And through all that, her freedom came that Jesus had fought for and defeated the devil 2,000 years ago.
Praise the Lord. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. If the teaching you've just heard, if you would like that in its entirety, if you would call our ministry at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can also order all of our entire teachings, which we have hundreds of them, on the website at tlsm.org, www.tlm.org, tlsm.org. And there you can go to the free teachings. You can order whatever you want. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.